Time to get our weekly local view. He's the fine columnist for the Register Guard. Find him in the sports section. Well, his writing. You can catch up online, registerguard.com. On Twitter, it's at AustinMeekRG. Austin, how are you today?
Hey, Steve, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Oh, just peachy keen. I know football, but you are also a baseball guy. And I could get a little obsessive. I don't know if you've noticed that in the past. So they've got this modern baseball era committee, 16 members, managers, executives, media members, and they just voted in a couple of guys, Alan Trammell, Jack Morris. I've always been of the opinion Morris should have been a long, long time ago. Trammell's a really good player, Hall of Fame, eh. We've had the Veterans Committee for a while to clean up mistakes by the writers. Do you feel that this is needed? I know you've obviously been busy covering Oregon football. You got a new baby and things like that, but I'm going to make it all about me. When you hear this, what do you think?
You've accurately surmised the amount of attention that I've given to Cooperstown the last couple weeks because of everything else that's going on. I feel like as time goes on, the inclination is to find more and more ways to put more people into the Hall of Fame. I'm of the opinion that you have a Hall of Fame, you know, it should be pretty exclusive. You know, it should be hard to get in there. It's not just, you know, just everybody should get in. So I don't have a problem, you know, necessarily with good players being left out. I don't know that, you know, we have to create a way to go back and get every good player into the Hall of Fame. It's okay to be a good player who wasn't quite a Hall of Famer. And sometimes, you know, speaking as somebody who honestly does not have a lot of knowledge of the specifics here, but sometimes it seems like, you know, a Hall of Fame tries so hard to go back and correct guys who should have been in that got left out that you end up just watering it down.
Good take. And I like the watering down comment as well. Now, we'll get to what you've actually been focused on. So Thursday, you wrote an interesting piece that kind of transcended candidates for Oregon's head football coach. You mentioned that, you know, this decision for the athletic department is important, and the choice to bring in Willie Taggart spoke volumes. What did you mean by, I guess, Oregon either had to face a clean slate or a more back-to-Oregon basics move as far as the decision Rob Mullins and those guys faced?
Yeah, I think you have to say that this was Oregon doubling down in some ways and what they did when they brought in Willie Taggart. You know, the one thing you can say about Willie leaving after 1 year is if Rob Mullins was looking for an escape hatch or an excuse to start over from the hire he made a year ago, then this was that opportunity. But instead, they elected to keep going on the same path that they were on with Willie Taggart, except without Willie Taggart and probably without Jim Leavitt. And that's the gamble here is, you know, if you like the direction that Oregon was going with Willie Taggart, then you're probably feeling pretty good that they decided to promote Mario Cristobal. But the question is, can you accomplish the same things that you would have accomplished with Willie Taggart with basically half of his staff? You know, the way I put it in the column is, are they trying to bake the same cake with half of the ingredients? You know, can you take away Jim Leavitt and take away Willie Taggart and think you're still going to have the same level of success? And I think that's what we're going to find out now going forward with Mario Cristobal.
Talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard, I think your Saturday article, we quoted Michael Schill, the president, said the Ducks need to keep the momentum going And you alluded to it, from 4 to 7 wins, some awful losses. I guess, how accurate or maybe negotiable is that statement? Because at different times, 7-5, that record's gotten coaches fired.
Yeah, I do want to push back a little bit on this narrative that Oregon had this great amount of momentum with Willie Taggart that they somehow had to try to maintain. Certainly they had some things that were going in the right direction. Recruiting-wise, yeah, they'd gotten some high-profile commitments. Their class was ranked very high. They beat Oregon State by the biggest margin in the history of the Civil War. So definitely there were some things that were trending in the right direction. But overall, I'm not sure that 1 year where you go 7-5 and you have a losing record in the Pac-12, I don't know that in itself constitutes a lot of momentum. You know, if Willie Taggart had had that year in his third season instead of his first, then people would be talking about Willie Taggart being on the hot seat. Now, coming off of a 4-8 season, to go 7-5 and get back to a bowl game, yeah, it's significant. It was a noticeable turnaround in a lot of areas. So I don't mean to diminish that. I just think the idea of Oregon having a lot of momentum, I'm not sure how much momentum you can really have when you have a 7-win season and then the coach leaves after 1 year. I don't think there's a ton of momentum from that you carry forward.
And it leaves other questions. I mean, we know the kind of support in the locker room that Cristobal had. It was a feel-good press conference. But if Oregon is this true national brand, any logic, I know I'm kind of playing column A, column B here, would it have made sense to wait till after the bowl season, see who might have been available? Or if they thought he's the guy, got to keep him now.
Well, I'm sure that the signing date for recruiting was at least in the back of Rob Mullen's mind, and I'm guessing that was a factor in promoting Mario Cristobal as quickly as they did. Is if we feel like this is our guy and there's nobody else that we're even really considering, then you know, let's not wait, because every day that goes by is a day that you lose having that certainty to be able to go to recruits and say this is who your coach is going to be, which is obviously very valuable. Any day that went by without promoting Mario Cristobal was another day that they could lose recruits that had committed. So there was some urgency to do it quickly. I hope that it was still done in a thorough way. You know, the worst thing Oregon could have done was just to panic and to promote the guy from within, who, you know, is the easiest choice, because you want to keep the recruiting class together, and you know that it could have been a really short-term move. And I hope that, and I think that there was more long-term thinking that went into it than that. But it was a very quick process. You know, I was surprised by how quickly it happened.
Talking Duck Football with Austin Meeke, the Register Guard. We spoke with a writer from the Miami Herald on yesterday's show. He covered Cristobal when he was at Florida International, had good things to say about the work he did under some tough circumstances. And I know you, being from outside the area, have a lot of connections. You hear from people, and certainly from fans and readers. What are you hearing maybe outside of the Duck bubble about the decision to promote the co-offensive coordinator?
Well, I think it is interesting to sort of look at the local reaction versus the national reaction. I think generally in both places it's been pretty positive. I think Mario Cristobal is a pretty well-respected coach around college football, so I haven't heard anybody really saying anything bad about the guy. But I do think, you know, I think the attitude nationally is a little more, okay, let's wait and see what they have here, versus locally, I think, you know, a lot of fans have probably, probably sort of are riding the wave of emotion that you saw from the players. You know, I think fans sort of took their cue from that and saw how much support there was in the locker room for Mario Cristobal, and I think the fans have kind of followed suit. So, you know, hey, that's great. You want fans to be excited about the new coach. no reason not to be. He hasn't lost a game here. he'll be able to say that for at least four more days. So, hey, it's good that fans are excited. But I think if you take the temperature of it nationally, I think you would sense a little more, I guess, reservation about, hey, this could work. It's not like on its face a bad idea, but there's a lot of unknowns going forward with Mario Cristobal.
And while the final chapter of the season has yet to be written, no question the turnaround by the defense from awful to actually pretty good. You mentioned Jim Leavitt earlier, as people have done tremendous work. What are the chances, or should I say, should they do all possible to keep him? Because I think it's pretty obvious he has head coaching aspirations.
He does, and the fact that he wasn't apparently really a serious candidate to be the head coach here, I wonder how that will factor into his decision to stay or go. You know, all the signs right now are pointing to Jim Leavitt going with Willie Taggart to Florida State, which would be a big loss, because I personally felt like Jim Leavitt was the biggest factor of anybody in the turnaround that Oregon had this year. I mean, I've told people, I think if Jim Leavitt had been the defensive coordinator a couple years ago instead of Brady Hoke, I think good chance Mark Helfrich is still here. You know, that's what Oregon had been looking for, was a defensive coordinator who could come in and turn that unit around, and that's what Jim Leavitt did this year. So it would be a big loss if he goes. And, you know, one thing I'm curious about is just how much consideration he did get for the head coaching job. I know he has some baggage in his past, and maybe Oregon decided early on we just can't go there. But you know, his record at South Florida, which you know was every bit the challenge in its own way, I think, that Florida International was for Mario Cristobal. You know, Jim Leavitt's a pretty accomplished coach, and it'll be a big loss if he does end up leaving.
Couple final thoughts for Austin Meek of the Register Guard. This Vegas Bowl against a program that's been kind of a thorn in the side of the Ducks in football and hoops. They just ended that 46-game home win streak. Almost beat the Final Four team last year. So considering December 16th, it's the Las Vegas Bowl, seems like this actually turning into a pretty interesting little matchup, no?
Yeah, I think it's one of the more interesting games on the board outside of, you know, the New Year's Six games. Bowl games always come down to who wants to be there more and who is more focused. And this one is hard for me to really peg, because on the one hand you say, gosh, Oregon's had so many distractions in the weeks leading up to this game, how could they possibly be focused? You know, the head coach is gone, you've got other coaches who are potentially in the process of leaving. Players have gone through this huge range of emotions the last 2 weeks. So, you know, on the one hand, Boise has just, you know, been in the perfect situation where they've had no drama, no distractions. They've just been able to hone in and prepare for Oregon while the Ducks have been going through all this upheaval. But the other side of that is I do think there may be an emotional lift for Oregon, for those players who supported Mario Cristobal so vocally, to have him get the job. I think those guys will be motivated now to go out and show that, you know, they want to play for this guy. He was the guy that they lobbied for. They wanted him, and so now that he's there, you know, the players are free to go out and show why they believed in him. So it's hard for me to predict which way it'll go, but I think, like a lot of bowl games, it is going to come down to which team is more focused and more motivated to be there.
Well, if you actually figure out who's going to win, I need about 5 minutes before kickoff to get a bet in. So I'd appreciate a heads up.
Well, that's the danger of being in Vegas during bowl season, because those things are so unpredictable. I mean, you know, you almost have to throw out, you know, what happened in the regular season, because bowl games just
yep.
Go any way. So there's potential to to come home a little lighter than you started if you're spending bowl season in Vegas.
Absolutely. Folks, he's Austin Meek of the Register Guard, registerguard.com, on Twitter at AustinMeekRG. Sir, you travel safely to Sin City and back, and we look forward to chatting once again next week.
All right. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy.